How's it going, everybody? Welcome back for another episode of the Vietes Rundown. I'm your host, Manny Vietes. So this is a New York edition of the Vietes Rundown. We're in New York for the NBA draft, and everything is underway. Today is basically Christmas in the NBA of sorts, and you will not be disappointed come later tonight at the Barclays Center. So I just want to talk about a little bit about yesterday. Yesterday was the media availability for all the prospective draft picks. I talked to De'Aaron Fox, Jason Tatum, Zach Collins, Jonathan Isaac, Markelle Fultz, Lonzo Ball. All of them were there. Everyone was in attendance. All the media were there trying to weigh in on how they've been preparing for the draft and where do they think they might go, all of that type of stuff. I ended up catching up with Zach Collins. I talked to him about him playing at Bishop Gorman and how he has used that to basically take his game to the next level by going to Gonzaga and now becoming potentially a top 10 draft pick. So I have him coming up, have his interview coming up a little bit later on the show, just probably in about 5 minutes here. And then later, when to end the show, I'm going to end it with my interview with De'Aaron Fox. It was basically a group interview. De'Aaron Fox was asked questions about basically everything, about how he's been preparing for the draft, things about his past, things about Lonzo Ball, and also with the Kings. We asked him a couple questions about that. So yeah, that's going to be coming up a little bit shortly in this episode. And so for now, I just want to talk about a little bit about the draft day. So obviously, Markelle Fultz, without a doubt, 100%, is going to go to the Philadelphia 76ers at the one spot, which I said in my last episode. I love that. I hope that this completes their process and ultimately gives them that point guard that they need to propel them to the next level, because they definitely need that. They need someone to go play alongside Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. So if Markelle Fultz can be that guy, then that would be great for that team. So those are my thoughts on that. The Lakers are almost solidified to take Lonzo Ball. They were hearing a lot of there was a lot of rumors going on the last couple of days of teams trying to trade in for that second pick. I don't think the Lakers are going to even be close to even doing that. They have an opportunity to take a player. Obviously, now that D'Angelo Russell got traded to the Nets. Now they have opportunity to take a player that can propel them to the next level and can be that, franchise guy, especially because he's from LA and has lived down there. That's kind of the right fit, right answer. Probably Magic is the only person that could probably contain LeVar Ball. So I think Magic has that in his bag as well. So he's thinking about that too. So hopefully, this works out well for the Kings. So hopefully if De'Aaron ends up, staying on the boards, past the Suns and past the Sixers, then the Kings will potentially have the chance to draft him, that's what I want. All right, so then we move on to the Boston Celtics at the third pick. There's been talk about him going to the Celtics a lot. Talk about Josh Jackson going to the Celtics a lot at the third pick, and that's why he didn't work out for any teams, because he wanted to. I mean, for the Celtics, because he didn't want to hurt his chances at the third spot. But the Celtics also worked out Jason Tatum, and I had a chance to speak with Jason Tatum yesterday. I'm going to be brutally honest. He wasn't too excited to be talking to all the media and talking to everybody, but he's definitely the best scorer in the draft, and I have no doubt in my mind that that he's going to be able to come in and produce right away. So if I were the Celtics, I would definitely go with Jason Tatum. But Josh Jackson seems like the better, like, all-around fit defensive player. Can put the ball in the basket, can drive to the basket, can shoot just a little bit. That's the only spot of his game that struggles is his shot. So the Celtics, I mean, if the Celtics were to take a small forward, it kind of would seem redundant because they took one last year as well in the draft. But at the third spot, you got to draft whatever's available. And Danny Ainge said that he was going to draft the same player he was going to draft at one at three. So let's hope this pans out well for Danny Ainge. He also has a lot of offers on the table as well. I'm also hearing that, like, LaMarcus Aldridge is in the mix of the Spurs want a top five pick for LaMarcus Aldridge, and the Celtics could definitely use that. They could play probably him and Al Horford down low, so we'll see what happens throughout the day. Also, The New York Knicks are trying to trade Kristaps Porzingis, which is kind of crazy in my book. Phil Jackson came out last night on an interview and said, "Oh well, you know, we love the guy, but this is just something we're having to do. We're gonna have to do for our ball club." Which are you like? All right. So if you get rid of Kristaps Porzingis, that's basically you're basically saying goodbye, Melo. Melo's not gonna stay there. But Porzingis, you know, he's an up and coming talent. Definitely probably going to be an all star in the next 5 years. And if you're able to, if any team is able to get him right now, on any condition with not having to give up one of their, you know, high scoring starters or, you know, multiple picks, then that would be a great trade. But right now, there's several teams trying to engage with New York on Kristaps Porzingis, and Boston is one of them. But a lot of these teams are unwilling to meet the demands of the Knicks. And there was a offer that Phil Jackson gave the Suns the other day. He said Kristaps Porzingis for Devin Booker and the Suns' fourth pick. And that's just kind of crazy to me that someone would want to. I mean, you would never. Devin Booker's probably going to be an all-star. And he's a guard. He scored 70 points last year in one game. Why would you want to do that? And I don't even know why Phil Jackson would think that that was a great move. They're basically just trying to throw offers out there to see what can happen. But come on, man. So, I don't know. We'll see what happens. There's probably going to be a whole bunch of trades that go on after I post this episode. So, if you want to just go follow my Twitter, I'll be posting all day from here in New York. And we're just going to be, you know, just dishing out all these different types of scenarios. Because the draft day from today, from this morning till tonight, will be literally like Christmas. There's going to be so many people out here just all the agents are out here, all the scouts are out here, all the teams, executives, everyone's in one spot to start making deals and trying to make something happen. And especially during right when the draft starts, that's when the clock starts for all of these teams to start doing something. Like especially for like the Celtics, for instance, the Celtics don't need that third pick. The Celtics can definitely trade that pick and go get somebody like a great starter on another team if you want to package that with something else. So I'm going to go on, like, there's going to be probably over 10 trades that are going to happen tonight. It happens every single year just around this time. So, you know, just keep on looking for that. Stay on Twitter, follow everybody, follow all the writers, follow all the reporters. We're all going to be at Barclays Center, so it's going to be a great time. All right, so I just got finished talking with the Celtics. I'm going to go on to the Suns now. And so if I were the Suns at the fourth spot, if Jason Tatum is available, I would take him or Josh Jackson. They need that wing score. They already got a score in Devin Booker at the point guard. So I would hope that they would take Jason Tatum or Josh Jackson so the Kings could get De'Aaron Fox. The Kings need De'Aaron Fox. So that moves me on to my next team, which is my Sacramento Kings. I'm hoping and praying that the Kings get De'Aaron Fox. It would be a disaster if they didn't. It would suck. Point blank, period. We need somebody like him. And out of all the guys that I talked to at this draft, and I'm not just being biased towards the, you know, towards him coming to the Kings, but he's actually, you know, he's the most articulate. He's the ultimate professional, and he's so young. He was just in high school a year ago. And, you know, there, if you compare the way he is just off the court to some guys, as I would say, like DeMarcus Cousins, it's night and day. It's rain or shine. It's not even close. Having a guy like him on your team to actually start this rebuilding process would definitely, it's money in the bag right there, especially with the young guys we already have. If we were to get De'Aaron Fox, it would just be a great addition to the team. It's definitely the attitude that we need going in to this rebuilding process. And ultimately, the decisions that, you know, the Kings make or whatever falls on their lap today will impact them for the next 15 years. Because who knows if De'Aaron Fox pans out into being one of the best players in the NBA within the next 6 years. Okay, well then that propels the Kings to be that much closer to winning a championship or even making the playoffs for that matter. So, you know, we're on the cusp of making the playoffs last year. The year before we were a couple spots down. So hopefully the next 3 or 4 years we'll be able to, you know, get back to those ranks and propelled by a guy like De'Aaron Fox. So we'll just have to look just keep looking closely on that, seeing what's going to happen, seeing if there's anything that will be, see if there's anything that can, get in the Kings' way, and see if the Kings can overcome it, because hopefully Vlade will just say no to all of these trades that are getting thrown at them. I guarantee you they're getting calls and calls and calls about that fifth pick, about potential trades, maybe like LaMarcus Aldridge coming there. So I just want Vlade to hold on to this pick. You already are gung-ho on this rebuilding process. You already got some young guys, so keep it going. Don't revert back. Getting somebody that's an established player or an all-star will not do anything for this team. It will not. You're not trying to get to the playoffs right now. You're not trying to get to the finals right now. You're trying to build a roster that can get you to the finals in 5 years. So just stay course, Vlade, if you're listening. Just stay course. All right. So I just want to talk about the top five picks. Now I'm going to go and play that clip from the Zach Collins interview. He talks a little bit about Bishop Gorman, about Gonzaga, and ultimately about how he will fit in with the Sacramento Kings. So hope you guys enjoy that. The interview will only be about 2 minutes long, and then I'll come back and I'll add on the De'Aaron Fox video. So hang tight, enjoy. I'll be back in about 3 minutes.
Sacramento, can you talk a little bit about how that was and what you took away from that?
No, Sacramento was really good. I think it was one of my best workouts because I shot the ball really well. And in a one-on-one workout, that's important just because it's straight drills. So I think I did really well. And I love the Sacramento staff. I mean, it seems like they've got a really good thing going, and they're definitely on the right, on the right path to rebuilding, hopefully another playoff team there. So and their facilities, man, like top-notch facilities. That new arena is nice. Their practice facilities is huge, and they got all the cool, the weightlifting stuff. So I mean, it was a really good experience.
Zach, being a Vegas local myself, what did Gorman do for you? What did Coach Rice do for you? And what do you want the Vegas people to know?
First off, I love Vegas, man. That's my hometown, and I'll rep them, forever. And hopefully, when I retire, I'll be lucky enough to live out there. But for Gorman, I think just going up against great competition every day on the court, it made such a difference. And I was playing behind a couple of All-Americans, Chase Jeter and Steven Zimmerman, my first 3 years. And people ask me all the time, if to do it again, would you go to a different school so you could start all 4 years? And I always tell them absolutely not, just because going up against those guys every day in practice, it made me so much better, not just as a player, but, mentally. And, Gorman did a lot for me, even off the court. Like, I made friendships there that they're gonna last my whole life.
Yeah, I saw Coach Rice in the airport, and I was asking him a couple of questions about you. So what did he do for you specifically? Because I know he's a big part in a lot of guys' games, like Shabazz. Like he did great things for him too. So if you want to just talk about him a little bit.
I think with Coach Rice, I think he's an underrated coach for Gorman, and I think he gets a bad rap. Like he gets, people say he only wins because he's got great players, and that's not true because in practice he's the guy that gets all of us together. He's a guy that understands, like all Americans, like Shabazz, me, Steven, Chase, like he understands how to talk to those people. And when I had that relationship with him, it just made it easy to go on the court and play for him.
That transition's been great going to Gonzaga. Now here, do you think that was the foundation of one of the set you up for Gonzaga and set you up for the world to know? Like, was that the central
focus? Yeah, I mean, there's definitely some similarities between Gorman and Gonzaga. One of them is this discipline, and everything's tight schedule, and everything everything's real detail oriented. So I think learning that at a young age at Gorman for 4 years, it definitely helped me at Gonzaga to be more prepared.
There you have it. That was Zach Collins talking about his time at Bishop Gorman and how that helped him ultimately going to Gonzaga and now going to the NBA. So now I'm going to shift gears a little bit, and I'm going to talk a little bit about the Kings and how De'Aaron Fox is going to help them if he becomes a draft pick. I know the draft's in a couple hours. I wanted to get this interview out there really quick. So I'm going to put it up on the last bit of this podcast, and I hope you guys enjoy it. I actually am very high on De'Aaron Fox. I said that before in the podcast, and if the Kings ultimately do decide to draft him, then I will be the most happiest guy in the world. Our franchise will definitely be turned around full circle. We definitely need someone like him in our locker room. A young voice like him will definitely help everybody in the locker room, whether it's the older guys, the younger guys that need that extra push. And ultimately the franchise too, and the fans, they need something to be excited about. So this could definitely be the thing to spark all that. So I'm gonna let it play out. The interview's about 8 minutes long. You guys can listen to it, and then I'll throw a little Playboi Carti to end the interview. So, all right, guys. Hope you guys have a great rest of your day, and pay attention to Twitter, Instagram. Make sure that you guys stay in tune with everything that's going on today with the NBA draft. It's going to be a good one, and all the trades and acquisitions that are about to happen today. So, all right. I hope you guys are ready for the Christmas of the NBA. All right. Peace.
It's been going well. Just trying to show teams what I can do. You know, they kind of already know what you can do, but show them some things that they don't know. And really, I'm just enjoying it. You know, not every kid my age gets to go through this, and you only get to go through it once.
Has there been anything that these guys, like these coaches or scouts, want to see from you about your game that maybe you couldn't show it in Kentucky?
Nah. I can show everything. I can show everything that they're looking for.
Has there been anything about this process that surprised you at all, or has it been what you expected?
It's kind of been what I expected, but I've had so many people mentoring me and helping me through this process that, you know, it hasn't been hard. I kind of came in, you know, knowing what to expect.
The Houston area has a long tradition of turning out great players and guys going high in the draft. You and Justin, I know you're from the same AAU team. Mm-hmm. What's it like to sort of continue that tradition for your hometown?
It's cool. You know, Houston's really thought of as a football city just because, you know, Texas is a football state, but I mean, we've had so many All-Americans, we have so many NBA players, and great players that come through the city. It's just great to carry that tradition on.
Fun to see Justin going through this with you.
Yeah, definitely. You know, we always kept in touch, we always talked, you know, even when he was a freshman here and I was a junior in high school, we stayed in contact.
What did this whole process, how did you have you just to get to the draft night tomorrow night?
It's just, man, it's gratifying. But for me, you know, I know that this is just one step, you know, this is the easy part. You know, the hardest part is actually staying and sticking in the league. So I know it's a lot of work to do, but, you know, I'm excited to take this first step.
Tell me about your speed. Everybody talks about elite speed and what that is for your game. Why does that set you apart from everybody else in this
game? Just, you can't really teach speed. You know, some, you have speed trainers and things like that, but sometimes a person's fast or they're not. And that's just a valuable asset that, you know, if you're out just playing, outrunning people, you know, you can't really stop that. It's hard to.
Do you ever think that too much attention is paid to the speed, that you're not just speed?
No, it's never too much attention to it. You know, everybody can say that, but, you know, I know the player I am, and I'm going to use my speed. So, you know, if that's what everybody thinks is my best asset, then I'm fine with it.
Is John Wall a guy that you looked up to and kind of had in your game because of that speed?
Definitely. Because, like I said before, you know, I didn't even know I was that fast until Coach Cal kept telling me to run. And just seeing the way he uses his speed, but I mean, he's so in control now, you know, than he was when he first got in the league. You know, it's a valuable asset, and, you know, it's, like I said, it's hard to stop. But he showed that in the playoffs.
Was there a point for you where you felt like, I'm going to be able to make it at the next level?
Yeah, I mean, just seeing what he's doing, seeing what a lot of guards are doing, you know, people that they say are undersized, not strong enough, things like that. You know, people come out, you know, in the draft or, you know, every year that people say that, and they're able to, you know, just prove all the doubters wrong. So, of course, I feel like I'll be able to stick in the league.
Was that something you realized, like, high school age?
Yeah, around high school. Saw a lot of guys being able to go one and done. When you're in high school, people start doing mock drafts, and people think I can go one and done. And going to Kentucky, I feel like I had a good year. And Coach Cal felt like I was good enough to go, so I went.
How much do you pay attention to those mock drafts?
I mean, I don't pay attention to them, but, you know, with the social media nowadays, you get tagged every 5 seconds, so you end up seeing it.
You're close with Willie Cauley Stein over in Sacramento. Can you talk a little bit about your fit over there and what you know about that?
You know, young players, you know, they got Buddy. When Buddy went there, he started playing extremely well. Scal started playing well at the end of the year. You know, they're on the up and up, got a lot of young players, and I feel like I'll be able to run a team well.
How do you feel you fit into that culture over there? I know a lot of fans.
You know, it's really a small city, kind of like Lexington was. You know, small city, you know, they really have, all they really have is basketball, you know, the only really professional sport. So it's something that I'll probably be used to.
Do you get tired of the Lonzo Ball comparisons between you and him? You guys enjoy
We get tired of it, but it's fine. You know, we're both point guards. We're going to play each other in the NBA. So, you know, off the court, we don't talk about basketball. It's not about basketball, just because when you're talking about basketball, sometimes it just gets overwhelming with how much it's talked about. But.
So you guys are not friends?
Yeah, we're friends. We've been friends. We enjoy we let it go. I mean, we don't talk about it off the court, but we let y'all do what y'all do.
What do you talk about?
Just other stuff, what we're doing in life, things like that. I kind of, I mean, we've been friends before we even played each other at Kentucky and UCLA.
We were at the photo shoot with you earlier. Now you're doing media. What is everything moving quickly for you?
Everything is moving quickly, but, you know, away from this, I'm still a kid. That's how I just keep myself grounded. You know, I let this be this, and I let my personal life be my personal life.
What are some things we expect to see on the red carpet tomorrow
night? I think I told, who did I tell? I told somebody. I was like, just remember the word love.
Coach Cal always calls this graduation night for his players. Will this feel like a graduation night for you?
Yeah, it'll kind of feel like a graduation. I mean, not really graduating from college, but, you know, just being accepted into this brotherhood, this family that the NBA is.
How much did Cal's track record putting guys in the league? How much did that weigh in the decision to play for Kentucky?
It was heavy. You know, when he came into my house, you know, he never said anything about it, about you being one and done, or even about the players that he put in. Just because, you know, it's just a swag that he has. You already know that. You know, he doesn't have to say that. But, you know, that's one thing that we're really looking to, you know, going to a school that a coach doesn't really, you know, play their freshman or have a lot of one and dones. You know, sometimes you want to change the culture, but it's like, what are the odds of you being the first one? So, you know, people just say we jumped in line, but, you know, we felt comfortable. I felt comfortable with Coach Cal and KP and, you know, our whole coaching staff.
How much did you used to watch previous drafts?
I've watched a lot of drafts.
And I wonder how much of an impression it made on you that Kentucky guys were a big part of a lot of drafts.
Definitely, but, I mean, I wouldn't have went there if I didn't feel like he could help me and I could help a team win. I don't let things that I can't control bother me. I don't think about it. That's why when people ask me where I want to be drafted, I'm like, you know, it doesn't matter to me. If I can't control it, I let that be. I let it be. Oh, yeah, I had a good meeting, good workout, and, you know, whatever happens, happens.
Does this still feel kind of surreal to you?
Definitely, definitely. So what's today, the 21st? June, I graduated June 4th high school. So it's been a year and almost 3 weeks. And then I was at Kentucky June 7th. So it's been a little bit over a year since I graduated high school, and life changed so much in a year.
Is this the year I've been looking forward to for a long time?
Yeah, definitely, definitely. I know getting here honestly wasn't that hard, but like I said before, man, staying in the NBA is the hardest part.
Yeah. A lot of people saw how emotional you got after the Kentucky loss. Are you a guy who would say brings his emotions into his play on the court?
But I feel like that helps me. You know, I said with Russell Westbrook being my favorite player, you know, when he's playing angry, when he's playing his best. And even Dwayne Wade said that before. So I am. You know, you don't really see it in the game. But, you know, after we lost, like I said, that was my only chance to win a national championship. And it kind of just spilled over in the locker room. I feel like I fit in with any team. You know, most of the teams kind of struggling right now but have young pieces. A lot of them need point guards. Some don't. But, you know, if I'm drafted to a team, you know, I feel like they need a point guard and a playmaker, someone who can lead a team. And I feel like that's what I'll bring to a team.
How do you feel joining the brotherhood of the NBA? You just mentioned that. How do you feel about this? Does it touch your heart at all that this is happening?
Oh, man, definitely, definitely. You know, this is something that I've been dreaming of. And actually, I worked out at the NBPA facility yesterday and saw Chris Paul, who, you know, is the president of the association. So, man, it's great just coming into this brotherhood.
Any advice you got from anybody?
I've gotten advice from a lot of players. Actually, Kelly texted me yesterday. I think he might have been in Germany still. So, man, I still talk to a lot of guys that I've known and guys that have been in the league for a few years.
What kind of music do you listen to before games?
Me, I'm not the type to get hyped. I've listened to classical music before games. It's you know, a lot of hip hop. It's nothing that I constantly listen to. I kind of change my. Big Sean's still one of my favorites. Big Sean's been my favorite since like middle school. Then Logic came along. Still like.
In New York, I'm really wrong. Hiding in my socks. Lucid Savvy Rock. Running from the cop. Shooting at the ops.